Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Mother's Day to those who celebrate. Thank you. Received a great message this morning at 8:10. Happy Mother's Day. I hope you have already enjoyed breakfast in bed and can now enjoy a relaxing day. That was not from any of my children or either of my children. That was from my sister, actually, who probably knows my family well. But I thought I would relax today. This is a chair from our house that sits in the corner in our bedroom. And quite often when I get home from the office on a weekday, it's the first place that I would usually sit down. I think that's right. And then the first thing I would do is take off my shoes. So it's Mother's Day, so surely, excuse my white toenails, I didn't think about that actually. But I would just sit here sometimes to gather my thoughts. Sometimes I'll pick up my phone and flick through Instagram. Sometimes I'll just sit there and breathe. Because, you know, I do that during the day, but sometimes I just need to take some deeper breaths when I get home. But did anybody get breakfast in bed this morning? Yes, go Michelle. Anyone else? Is that the only person in the whole room who got breakfast? Any males get breakfast in bed this morning? You'd be brave to admit that, I think, today. Well, actually, I did get breakfast in bed this morning, but it looks somewhat different. But think fluffy golden waffles. Think softly stewed strawberries. Think oozy caramel and a blob of luscious cream on the side. Then think this tea. From T2, delicious breakfast in bed. I got this morning for Mother's Day, thanks to my family. It's true, it's very true. I haven't even drunk it yet, actually, because I got it after I'd already made another tea. But I have long said that tea is good for my soul. And sometimes I think that's because when I make and I drink a cup of tea, I often stop what I'm doing and take a break. Often I drink tea with other people. And when I started to think about tea and that possibly it's good for my soul, I started to think of lots of other things that could be good for my soul. And here are some of them. Family, friends, walking, reading, music, the outdoors, sunrise, I get up early, sunsets, so many things are good for my soul. But to be honest, I find this phrase a little bit strange because I've often thought of my soul as being more my inner spiritual being. And how could tea possibly be good for that? But if you Google questions or phrases around what's good for your soul or things that, you know, fill your soul, you can get everything from well-being sites on the internet to self-help sites to even Oprah has some advice on what you should do for your soul. But when I started to think about this more, I realised that many of the things that people would say are good for their soul are valued because they bring greater connection. Perhaps it's connection to creation. Could be to God, to our inner being, or could even be connection to people. Well, Sarah mentioned in the announcements that we're currently in the middle of this series titled Together Again. And we're specifically considering this morning what it means for our inward being, for our soul, when we meet with others and perhaps when we take care of it. Amy read to us earlier and she did an amazing job, and if I had a bunch of flowers, I would give them to you, and I'm not going to pronounce any of those places that she did because she did so well. But she read to us from both the Old and the New Testaments. And in the passage from Acts, we read of Paul and Silas who were travelling and preaching. And we read of doors that were closing. But then in the middle of one of these missionary journeys, Paul was given a vision of a man begging him to come over to Macedonia. And Paul, seeing this as a call from God to preach the gospel in that region, decided that they would set out for Macedonia. And they came in due course to Philippi, which is a major city in the area, it says in Scripture. But in Philippi at this time, there was no synagogue. But when Jews did not have a synagogue, they often had a place of prayer. And for whatever reason, this was often located down by the riverside. Now for Paul, the Sabbath day was a day of routine. And on the first Sabbath day after his arrival in this city, Paul made his way to the area where he believed that the Jews would be gathering. And he was right, because what he found there was a group of devout women engaged in prayer. Not in a church, perhaps in a makeshift kind of building or some kind of covering, but they were down by the river. And he and his companions at the time took the opportunity to share with them the truths of the gospel, telling them about Jesus. And in doing so, they presented what many would believe was the very first gospel message in that area that we now describe as Europe. But one of those present at this prayer meeting was a woman by the name of Lydia. Now, as a woman myself, I'm quite intrigued when I read the actual names of women in the Bible, because mostly it doesn't happen all that often. Many women in Scripture are named in relational terms. You know, they were so-and-so's wife or mother or daughter or sister. But here, Lydia is named. And it gives us just a little bit of information about her, that she was born in the province of Asia and had probably spent most of her life there. But her native city was famous for its dye works, the colour purple. This was a very favourite colour of the day, but it was reserved predominantly for the wealthy and important people, often royalty, because it was so expensive. It was gathered drop by drop from certain shellfish. Scripture tells us that Lydia was a dealer in purple cloth. She was a businesswoman, which is also something that is not commonly shared in Scripture. And she was a worshipper of God, it says. It's commonly believed that she was a widow, but there is no clear evidence of this. But what is clear is that she was a devout Jewish woman whose heart easily opened as Paul preached on that Sabbath morning in Philippi. And we read this very clearly, that the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. That is, her inner eyes were open to see and believe in the Jesus whom Paul preached about. And as a result of this, two things are noted in the scripture. Firstly, she was baptized, and maybe she encouraged her household to be baptized too, for this is also recorded in scripture. Doesn't say who they were from her household. It may have been her children, the workers in her business, perhaps even her domestic servants. They took part in this act of baptism as well. Secondly, she extended the hospitality of her home to Paul and his companions. And she said, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house." Some people say that perhaps she'd asked them to come and they had said no, and so then she pulls this draw card. "Well, if you consider me a believer, you have to come." You know, there's something about sitting down in someone's home and catching up with them. As a family growing up, this was modelled to me my entire life. And as a family now, this is something that we have continued to model to our children. In fact, our eldest son made comment of this not too long ago when he got a tattoo, but we can talk about that another day. But recently, we actually had Fred and Brian Pommering come over to our house for dinner. And from my perspective, I have to say that it was a good night, but maybe ask Fred after the service to get his version and opinion of the evening. But the conversation that we shared was encouraging. We have shared beliefs. We could relate on that level of conversation about our faith. Some of our conversation focused on hobbies that we have, on travel, on our family, on good times that we had experienced in life, and even some of the challenging times that we have gone through and continue to go through. We even discussed things, different elements of church life and the Salvation Army. Times and conversations like this are good for my soul. Which makes me ask the question, what do you do on a daily, weekly, or even just a frequent basis that is good for your soul? Do you spend time in creation, walking, reading, listening to music, spending time with like-minded people, friends, family? In the instance of today and our topic of conversation in a life group, do you worship? Do you pray? Well, Paul went out and found a group of people that he and the fellow travellers could pray with. And then he and Silas went to the home of Lydia and shared together there. And I wonder what the topics of conversation were on that occasion. Surely their faith would have come up. Perhaps the recent baptisms. Perhaps they just got to know one another better. And I'm sure that the conversation would have continued about Jesus and what Jesus had done for them. And I also imagine that it would have encouraged their faith and their growth as Christians. Sometimes I wonder if that's why Lydia would have invited them in the first place. I find this record of Lydia quite insightful and powerful, for here was a woman who was already a worshipper of God, who was gathering with other believers outside of the church. They were praying together when along came Paul, who shared the gospel with her, and in a new way, her heart was opened and she was challenged. But what happens then? Many of us have met Jesus. We've had our hearts opened. We share with others. We pray with others. We are worshippers of our great God. Well, the writer of Proverbs says, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep in your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Guard your heart. Well, I wonder if I took a survey here this morning, but I'm not going to, so you can relax. But if I were, and if I asked who here guards their heart, or who here looks after their heart, I think that the responses would be quite interesting. Because, of course, these questions can be considered from different perspectives. You can talk about your physical heart, your emotional heart or well-being, or your spiritual heart or soul. You know, we know that the heart is one of the amazing and complex organs in the human body. And I am no cardiologist, not even a doctor, but I did a bit of Google researching and found some random facts, hopefully they're facts because they did come from the internet, about the heart. Now, here are some of them. Laughing is good for your heart. Who knew? It reduces stress and gives a boost to your immune system. Here's something which is really odd. Most heart attacks around the world happen on a Monday. Take care tomorrow, people. Your heart beats somewhere between 100,000 and 115,000 times each day. I haven't done the maths on that, and it probably depends what your heart rate is, but good luck figuring that out. Every day, the heart creates enough energy to drive a truck 32 kilometres. In a lifetime, that's the equivalent of driving to the moon and back. What about this one? The heart works twice as hard as the leg muscles of a sprinter. And I don't even sprint, I just like toddle along and my leg muscles work hard, so I wonder. But then here's the other thing that I found which intrigued me. Heart disease is the greatest threat to your health. That's why it's important to be good to your heart. Be good to your heart. Guard your heart. Maybe the writer of Proverbs was onto something. And from looking at the story of Lydia, we are reminded that the heart is a place where God works. This is where conviction takes place at the heart level. And this is what we are to guard. Guarding your heart involves filling your life with the transforming truth of God's love and his word. And that's exactly what Lydia did. You know, I've spoken about this book that I've brought with me numerous times here. It's called Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. And we actually considered as part of a sermon series, maybe I was trying to remember about 18 months ago or so, some of the disciplines that Foster considers in this book. And he divides the disciplines of our spiritual life into three areas. He talks about the inward disciplines, the outward disciplines, and then the corporate disciplines. And in the first paragraph of the first chapter, so yes, right at the very beginning of this book that was originally written in 1978, Foster says, "The desperate need today is not for a greater number of intelligent people or gifted people, but for deep people." And when I consider Lydia, her heart experience, and the words from Proverbs, this quote from Richard Foster really resonated with me. Because being deep is not just about relationships, or serving, or giving, or being kind. But it's about our inward being, our soul. It's about opening our heart to Jesus, hearing the word, taking it in, acting on it, and having a relationship with God that is intimate and deep, and taking care of it. For I believe that it's from here that everything else flows. And Foster goes on when talking about our inward lives and he says, "Inner righteousness is a gift from God to be graciously received." It is a gift from God to be graciously received. So what are you doing to take care of this gift that has been given to you, the gift of Jesus? How are you nurturing it? Are you guarding it? Are you being held accountable? Are you taking care of your heart? What are you doing to take care of your soul, to open your heart, to go deeper, and to guard it? Because it's from here that everything else flows. I think one of the reasons that I love this chair that I sit in most afternoons, even if it's just for 5 minutes, it's because here is a place where I can find quiet and rest. And perhaps it's a way for me that I can feed my soul a little before I get on with the next part of my day. In the Salvation Army songbook, there's a beautiful hymn, and the words say, "Mid all the traffic of thy ways, turmoils without within, make in my heart a quiet place and come and dwell therein. A little shrine of quietness, all sacred to thyself, where thou shalt all my soul possess and I may find myself. Come occupy my silent place and make your dwelling there. More grace is wrought in quietness than any is aware." This morning, I've asked that the band will play this tune for us. And instead of singing, the words are going to come up on the screen. And I'd like you to read them and to meditate on these words. Perhaps this morning you might want to come and pray for a minute and find a little shrine of quietness. No one will come and pray with you. But I encourage you to continue to do things that are good for your soul and to guard your heart so that God may continue to work in and through you.